Get ready for Garden Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. Call in now with your garden questions. 860-522-WTIC. That's 800-966-WTIC.
And a wonderful afternoon to you, everyone. Welcome to Garden Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Len Giddix, and I'm here with our gardening sidekick, Lobster Bob.
Hey, Len, what's new?
Well, it's St. Swithin's Day, Bob.
You're kidding.
No,
I didn't know that.
No, and many people don't. Mike, did you know about St. Swithin's? Of course you did, yes. Well, if you, St. Swithin's was a bishop of Winchester in England around 980. And when he passed away, there was some mythology that said that if it rains on St. Swithin's Day, it will rain for 40 days. And if it's sunny on St. Swithin's Day, it'll be sunny for 40 days. So we've got a little bit of both today, a little clouds, a little sun. Like, you know, the weather gets much better after Garden Talk. We all know that.
Does that have anything to do with the guy that built that ark?
Well, I imagine 40 days is part of that, yeah. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Garden Talk. We have a great show for you today. We've got a couple of special guests in the studio, and we're going to talk about organic fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, whatever is out there, because they specialize in selling this to not only the public, but also to the industry. With us today are Joe and Emily Magazzi. Welcome, Joe and Emily.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. Let me see. I'm going to turn your volume up a little bit there. And they own Green Earth Ag and Turf, which in our industry is like the source for organic fertilizers. What is that? Organic products.
Organic anything.
But you can also take advantage of that, too, and we're going to find out how you can do that. It's just not the industry people. How did you get into the organic business? I mean, in the 70s, you had you're not old enough to be, you know. You
were not long enough either. 70.
Yeah. You were, a bunch of hippies got together and said, let's do organics. And,
yeah, I mean, the funny thing is everything was organic until it wasn't, until we decided to go in the other direction. So I gave a talk a couple of years ago, and it was called Coming Full Circle. And you realize we're using things like fish now that the Native Americans were using thousands of years ago. So
yeah, cut a fish head off and stick it in the ground and put some corn on top of it.
Exactly. And so, yeah, we're so smart that we had to go back to what was done thousands of years ago.
But it worked.
Yeah, it worked, and it still does. So the way it was intended to be. It's a funny story if you want to get into
By the way, our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. If you have any questions about anything or particularly about organics, this is the show to call in on. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so about 8 years ago today. Today is the anniversary of our company.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. From when we...
Should have had a cake, but you're in charge of that, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, okay. That's why we came out.
I brought cheese and pepperoni. Will that do?
That'll do.
How about the cannolis, Bob?
No, I didn't get up early enough.
But 8 years ago, we were Emily was 8 months pregnant, and we were both living happy lives in the biotech and pharmaceutical industry. We were doing research. I was doing research on pain medications, HIV inhibitors, flu drugs. Emily was doing similar type things at her job, and she was going to be a stay-at-home mom after she had the baby. And she came home one day and said, "I got laid off," and that's when the economy crashed. And because we both have degrees in genetics and microbiology, I had consulted for a small company down in Florida. It was actually my college roommate, and had consulted with them. It was great. They'd fly us down on the weekend, and we'd go down, help them set up a lab, and use our microbiology degrees and really just an excuse to get down together with your friends. And when I got laid off, he called me up and said, "Hey, why don't you start a company up in Connecticut?" And they had been working on this crazy concept, which was throwing microbiology, soil biotics, probiotics, basically, at plants and trees and turf and making them grow better. which at the time was a very novel and kind of scary concept for a lot of people.
Groundbreaking.
Yep. Bumped. So we had never run a company, never done anything like this. And he said, well, I'll send you a case of product. If you sell it, send me money. And if you don't, send it back. And so we sold that case, which became multiple cases, which mm-hmm. then freight trucks started showing up in our front yard, which is a dead end off a dead end. And we were breaking pallets apart and taking cases one by one into my SUV, driving it back, bring it down through the Bilco doors. And
which was not parked in your garage anymore.
No, I actually had to drive on my back lawn. So which really scared my son at the time. So we rented a little space, had somebody unload pallets. Next thing you know, then we got a warehouse a few years ago, which has now doubled, and here we are. So we really had no idea what we were doing. I think we were just in the right place at the right time, and it's been tremendous what's happening in the fields and the feedback from people and really what's happening with laws and in the environment right now. So, yeah, it's been quite a ride.
Yeah, it seems it's prime time for organics right now. Everyone is asking for them.
Yes.
And you're situated in a good zone. No, but now you have, your marriage and your company are one and the same. Who's the boss?
That's easy.
Our 8-year-old.
Yes. And he's even known in the industry as that. He's got his own little business card that says the boss man. Yeah.
Good for him.
So I'm third in line. We'll just put it that way. Okay. So you can figure out who the other two bosses are.
Yeah. You're just the guy that says yes. Yes, okay.
As long as I say yes, everything works just fine. Yeah.
You know, it's the same way in every marriage. Yeah. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. Please call in. Ask us anything you like. We can even do marriage questions. I mean, we're pretty talented people here. Gardening questions, organic questions. Yeah, because we're going to talk when you're not calling about why we do organic, some of the new products that are out there that I wasn't even aware of, and some of the old products that you've heard on this show. Advertised on this show. But we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back right after this.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
Michael. Yes, Michael's challenge this week was to find bump music that had to deal with blueberries, because it is blueberry season. It just began maybe 4 days ago. And it's beginning and will continue for the next few weeks. Was just over at Scott's Orchard in Glastonbury this morning on the way over, checking out the peaches, the condition of the peach crop, which is magnificent, by the way, over there. They are known for their peaches, and they're huge, but they won't be ready for another week and a half, something like that. But the blueberries are ready, and that's where we'll be picking this afternoon.
I already picked some and had it with my Cheerios.
Where'd you go, Bob?
My backyard.
Oh, there you go.
Picked them right off the bushes, fresh. You couldn't have got them any fresher than that.
The chipmunks have had their way with my blueberries, and now I have had my way with the chipmunks. There are 5 or 6 new souls in chipmunk heaven right now.
Well, my fox family has helped out greatly with my chipmunk problem.
You did it the natural way. Hey, let's go to Sue in Terryville. Hey, Sue, welcome to Garden Talk. Are you there, Sue? Whoa.
Wrong button.
Wrong one? Oh, my arm is not long enough. Let's try it now. Hey, Sue, welcome to Garden Talk.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I have a couple of questions about I have a couple of gardens in my backyard, and I have a compost bin that my brother-in-law's mother gave to me, and I throw everything in that, all sorts of scraps and garden.
A compost thing?
A compost thing. It's like one of those big bullets.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tumbler setup. So someone told me that worm castings will help decompose it better and get it into that beautiful black golden stuff. So I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing by putting the worm castings in there.
What do you think, guys?
Yes. There seems to be some sort of magic with worm castings over just standard composting. At the end of the day, worm castings are really just a compost.
I'm sorry, I can't hear him.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now, Sue?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's very difficult to hear.
Down. Okay.
We may have a problem with the microphone.
Okay.
Just hang on, Sue.
Certainly.
Is that better?
Yeah,
I can hear you now. Thanks.
Okay. Worm castings are amazing. I don't know what it is. Nobody knows for sure. I think it has to do with the biology. When worms are composting, they're taking the waste in and out of their bodies, and I think in that time they're adding biology to it, and you get a more consistent product at the end of the composting thing, and whatever the magic is, people that use worm castings get tremendous growth, whether it's gardens, lawns. Yeah, it's just an amazing thing.
So just basically throw the worm castings into this and just let it tumble and do its magic.
Yeah, you can people top dress, which means just putting a little sprinkle over the top of a plant as it's growing. You can mix it in your potting soils with compost or worm castings. It can be very rich. You don't want to put seeds directly into it. The high nitrogen and the high salts can burn anything that's either the seeds or the growth. So we usually suggest 5 to 10% mixture with potting soil. That gets you great results. Or what we do in our, we've raised garden beds in our backyard. We just take a little handful and just kind of sprinkle it around the base of the plants as they're growing and let it water in, and you'll get great results with that.
How often do you fertilize or feed your plants that are growing, you know, for your garden?
Well, the best thing is always to get a soil test. You know, do a soil test, and just like when you go to a doctor's office, I always like to say the first thing they do is they take blood work. And based on that blood work, they're going to say you need vitamin D, you need vitamin B. You could take a multivitamin, but it may not be enough. So I always suggest doing a soil test, and the state has a great free soil test.
Yeah, I used them this year. My pH was a little low, so I had to add lime on my garden.
Right. And that, and just so the people that don't know, the Connecticut Ag Station, CAES.gov, I believe. So if you do the Connecticut Ag Station soil test, it's free. We always suggest doing that first. And based on that, it'll tell you what nutrients you need. Because, you know, people think a little's good, a lot's more. That's not always the case. We've seen a lot of cases where people have burned things or inhibited growth with too much fertilizer. So, you know, in general, you want to do a little at the beginning of the season. When things are blooming, you tend to add more phosphorus to help blooms. But otherwise, you will talk later on more about soil biology and things like that. Other things you can do that are more long-lasting and really just building the soil up. And a lot of it is just not doing things that hurt the soil. But in general, the soil test is what we suggest, especially because it's
right. Yeah, so, right. And the other question I have for you is that I have just a couple of blueberry trees, blue bushes, I should say, and they developed some sort of a fungus on them where they flowered, they had little blueberries on them, and then the next thing I knew, all the branches were dying with like some type of a brownness to it. And I have a girlfriend who has tons of them, and she said, yeah, some of hers had the same thing, and she just had to cut them down. I'm just wondering if there's anything viable, or if there doesn't seem to be anything really viable left on this bush. Should I just tear it up altogether?
I don't know whether I'd do that, but one thing I would do is go to that same extension service with maybe a branch of what you have and explain the disease symptoms to them. You know, without looking at it, it's hard for any of us to say what it is, not having had that problem.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they would know much more than we would. And, you know, bring a stem along with you if you wanted to visit the station. Also, when you hand in your soil sample, I believe the last time I did that, there was a question as to what you want to grow in the soil, and they'll give you recommendations to bring it up to snuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's and to give you another free resource in the state, there's something called Plant Sample Diagnostics. It's a free app you can put on your phone. And you can actually take pictures with your phone if you can't make it to one of the ag stations. And it'll shoot it over to it'll ask you a couple questions about what you're growing. And you can shoot it over to the University of Connecticut. There's a great pathologist up there. Her name is Joan Allen and other people who will actually diagnose it over the phone. And I get results back sometimes within hours. And the most important thing is to know the diagnosis, because I've had a lot of situations where people were going to put pesticides on a plant, whether it's an organic or not pesticide, and you could do more harm than good. And it was simply just a watering issue or something like that.
And what's the name of that app again, sir?
It's Plant Sample Diagnostics, and it's an app you can get, and it goes right to the University of Connecticut. It's all free. The app is free, and the diagnosis is free. And that's going to save you a lot of pain and heartache. And,
awesome. Because, and one last question.
Sure.
What should I add to my soil to promote the blueberries?
You know, with blueberries, they tend to like lower pH, so that's why the soil test is important. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you add lime, sometimes with acidic-loving plants, that could be more harmful. So, but otherwise, I would use a mild fertilizer. But if they're stressed right now, I tend to tell people don't fertilize, because what okay. the fertilizer is going to do is try to push growth. And I agree with Len. I wouldn't tear the plants up. A lot of times they can get a disease. You lose the foliage. You know, let it die naturally. But if not, you'll be surprised. Sometimes the foliage will grow back later in the year. And, you know, it can build its energy for next year. So, yeah. I would do
Someone
that.
Else told me that you should add peat moss to the soil. That'll lower the pH. Is that true?
It lowers the pH, but it also conditions the soil a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Remember, blueberry roots are very shallow, so mm-hmm. it's important that that you mulch them so that there's not this drastic drying, not this year, but drastic drying and you know, wetness on the soil. Hey, okay. Sue, we have to take a hard break right now, but you sure got your money's worth on that call.
I did.
Let me tell
you. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sue.
Not a problem. Anytime, call us anytime.
Bye-bye.
Well, look at that, ladies and gentlemen. We got Dave on the phone. Dave, we're going to have to wait until after the news, weather, sports, and a couple of commercials. And there's room for your call and then another call. They're coming in, ladies and gentlemen, hot and heavy. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. We have Joe and Emily Magazzi from Green Earth and Organic Ag and Turf. And welcome back to Garden Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. That music means only one thing, Bob.
Yes.
Time for the plant of the week.
Plant of the week.
By the way, we asked Joe about the reverb that we've been asking for 17 years, Michael, and he said he would be working on that.
Oh, they're still working on it. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, at least they're working on it.
Couple more days, years, decades. Yeah. What's a decade, give or take? Anyway, the plant of the week is brought to you by Moscarello's Garden Shoppy, 2600 Albany Avenue, West Hartford, Connecticut. And, Bob, do you know this week's plant of the week? Did I tell you?
No. You told me, but I forgot.
Oh, that's it. It's bromeliads, Bob.
Bromeliads.
You know, why spend thousands of dollars going to a tropical paradise to see the tropical plants when you can just go down to Moscarello's, get 20% off on a bromeliad, a couple of bromeliads, bring them home, put them in front of the deck, and just watch them.
Yep.
It's just like going to the tropics. And they've got a whole
almost better. It's closer. You don't have to pay for airfare.
You don't have to get your shots or anything.
No passport?
Nothing. Well, you don't have to. Well, yeah.
You might need a passport to cross over into West Hartford, but that's all right.
But bromeliads, yes, they are the plant of the week. Get thee down to Moscarello's Garden Shoppy, 2600 Albany Avenue, West Hartford, Connecticut, and remind them that you were listening to Garden Talk. They stopped snickering at that long ago, and they will give you 20% off on your bromeliad purchases this week. Welcome back to Garden Talk. With us today are Joe and Emily Magazzi from Green Earth Ag and Turf. That's the wholesale company. Now there is a retail branch of your company too for us home gardeners, correct?
That's right. That's right. We started that in the spring last year. It's an online store where we offer the retail sizes and things more appropriate to homeowner usage, rather than the big bags that the professional landscapers might use, but rather smaller sizes. It's called growitnaturally.com.
Growitnaturally.com. And I was snooping around down there today, and I'm almost out of Neptune's Harvest Fish Seaweed Blend, which is what I use like religiously for foliar fertilizing and just fertilizing in general. And you're offering a quart for $16.95, which is a good price. So you can expect an order.
Great.
Great.
Yeah.
We would have brought you a gift if we had known.
No. We don't do. We cannot do that here. They can do that in government. Well, we can't do that here.
Yeah.
That's payola, I believe.
Bribery.
All right. Let's go to, before we get back to more discussion with Joe and Emily, let's go to Dave in Rocky Hill. Hey, Dave. Welcome to Garden Talk.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys doing? Thanks for all you do as well. Great show.
Thank you.
The reason why I'm calling today is I've been living in my house for almost 4 years, and we have this mimosa tree in our backyard that really frames out the back patio and pool really nicely.
Yeah.
The pink mimosa smells great. You know, the foliage is tough in the autumn.
Yeah, but isn't it a wonderful tree when it flowers, huh?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
I saw one flowering today on the way up.
For the past 2 years, we've run into an issue where it's getting far less foliage, far less flowers, and I'm finding more and more branches are dying individually.
Mm.
There seems to be that the bark looks like it's peeling back in certain areas, and in areas where there's branches that separate the crotch, I guess, it looks like it's almost weeping and wet. And, I hate to lose this tree because it's just, it's an awesome tree, but it's got 50% less foliage. I'm curious if you guys have any suggestions or do you want to be the bearer of the bad news?
I don't want to be a bearer of bad news, and it's very difficult to look through my microphone to see what you're seeing. Joe, do you have, or Emily, do you have any ideas?
I was just wondering if anything had changed around the root zone.
Yeah.
A mowing pattern, or a weed whacker, a driveway, anything that would change that area?
No, there's been nothing. It's actually in an elevated bed next to the pool itself.
Okay.
And so nothing's changed in that area at all.
And how far is it from the pool? Because we have...
How far from the pool?
Yeah.
Approximately 15 feet.
Okay.
And its branches spread even further than
Any
that.
Any cannonballs this spring?
Yeah, it's in the shallow end. Luckily, we don't have a...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that sounds beautiful.
The one thing that I did notice on the mimosas in Lebanon, Connecticut, in eastern Connecticut, seems to be graced with a lot of these trees. But I did notice that the winter had, as in many cases, really wreaked havoc with some of the branches. Not all of the branches, but you say it's losing leaves all the way around, huh?
For the most part, some of the branches are doing okay, but as the season's progressing, a lot of the foliage is turning yellow and just falling off, and those branches appear to be dying.
Certainly seems like we need to look at the soil. But you know what? I would...
This sounds like a good case for
good
one
case
of the,
for the app.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I would suggest you take a picture of the tree as a whole so the person can get a sense of the way it's spread across the entirety, the entire physical spread of the tree, and then also specifically where the disease is progressing. So you described, they're turning yellow and then dropping. So kind of if you can get a branch that shows that progression, I think that would be valuable to the diagnostician. Uh-huh.
And
great,
water,
we'll do.
Yeah, especially with a wet spring. You said it was elevated. The other thing sometimes could be watering issues.
Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Go ahead, you're up.
Yeah, the one issue could be the water too. If the soil's too wet or too dry, to look at as well.
Okay, I'll be looking at all this, and I'll get some photos going.
Yeah, and what is that app again?
It's guys? Plant Diagnostic Sample Submission. I just double checked.
Okay, yep. Sample Submission. Plant Diagnostics, Sample Submission.
Sounds great.
And let us know. Let us know how it works, okay? because this is the first time I've heard about it, and I'm going to use it all the time on
this
show.
It's a great tool.
Yeah, it sounds great. We're going to use that for sure. Thank you very much for your time. Have a great weekend.
You too, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. So what's... Tom, hang on. We're going to take you after the break. So what are a couple of what's happening to organics? I mean, you know, besides worm poop and fish heads, and what's the big deal with organics? What's the progress that we're making here over the last decade or so? And who do we owe that to?
Well, you know, I think it's consumer driven. One of the amazing things that we did a Facebook post a few weeks ago is the Stop and Shop. We're down in Brantford, Connecticut, and the Stop and Shop that we shop at just opened a new wing of organics. And I'm walking down the wing, and I look, and there's these non-GMO cereals that we're looking for our 8-year-old son, and I realized that they're made by Frito-Lay's, which is owned by PepsiCo, and one of the larger anti-GMO companies out there. Mm-hmm. And here they are selling non-GMO labeled products, even though, on the other hand, they're fighting against the GMOs. And we're not preachy. We're not trying to preach here or anything. It was just amazing. And that's when I realized this is really driven by the consumer. Even though they don't want to do this, they're forced to do it because the green they're interested in is the green in the wallet. So
right. It's
really interesting. And I think that's where this is coming from. There are state regulations now where we can't use phosphorus in fertilizers unless you do a soil test or you're putting seed down, because a lot of that phosphorus is just running into the sound. And people are becoming aware of this and trying to protect the environment, especially up here in New England where we really cherish the environment. So it's really driven by the consumers, and that's forced the landscapers, the growers, whether it's food or for horticulture, to really adjust to the market. So it's interesting, 8 years ago, we begged people to listen to us, and we were routinely thrown out of meetings and laughed at, and we still are a lot. But now we have those same people coming to us, and they're just asking, how do we convert to organics? Because, like, for example, an organic landscaper may say they're losing a lot of business to an organic company, or people want to go to organics because they're hearing about it on the radio. So
yeah.
I think that's the number one thing driving it. And the other thing in the last 8 years is we've seen, you hate to use the word technology, but, you know, the technology in the organic world has been amazing. A lot of university studies have come out, a lot of new products that are working not only as good as the synthetics, but even better than the synthetics. So, you know, now there's products out there that can do what other products had done in the past, and you could do it in a safer manner now. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really an exciting time to be in the organic world right now.
And yet the United States is by far not the leader in organic production on a national scale. There's less than 4% of the land, agricultural land, used for organic production. I mean, China's got a bigger organic production because there's a lot of small family farms still in China. And what do they use? Cow poop, you know, and
exactly.
Fish heads and worm poop.
Yep.
You know, it's because it's part of their tradition. So we do have a long way to go, and I agree with you. It's up to us. Just like, you know, what you want in government, what you want in your food, you gotta ask for it. You gotta demand it, actually, and not buy the stuff that you're gonna pay a little bit more, I think. And those big companies realize that, but there'll be competition very soon. We have to take a short break, but we'll be back with more Garden Talk right after this. Oh, no, I got it. Blueberries for breakfast. Of course, blueberries
That's
for breakfast.
That's what I had the other morning, blueberries for breakfast.
That's right.
With my Cheerios.
Welcome back.
Can I say that?
Yes, you can say that, Bob. And you can expect your free box of Cheerios in the mail. Might be one of those little guys, but, you know, who knows. Welcome back to Garden Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm here with Lobster Bob, as usual, and Joe and Emily Magazzi. They are the king and queen, respectively, of Green Earth Ag and Turf, which is an organic supply company here in Connecticut, supplier to the industry, to the stars, and also to you through growitnaturally.com. If you haven't, I hopped on that site this morning because I one of my questions was, geez, how can I get some of this product? Because, you know, you go into an Agway and they're out of this, they're out of that. I don't want to deal with that. You can get online and to growitnaturally.com. And the prices are pretty darn good. As a matter of fact, they got sales. Yeah, I love sales. All right, let's go to Tom in Harwington. Wow. Long time since we had a call from Harwington. Hey, Tom, welcome to Garden Talk.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We're doing great here.
Okay, here's the situation.
Uh-oh.
Sour gum tree, you know, Nissa sylvatica.
Yeah.
I purchased it about 15 years ago as about a six-foot tree. I planted it. It's been fine every year. It's about now about 15 to 20 feet. In the last month or two, the leaves started curling up from the outer edge in, and at the point now that I'm speaking to you, there's no leaves on the tree.
Oh, my. Hmm. Now, did they curl up by any chance?
Yes.
Was there any... I'm not sure. But I'm going to ask this question anyway. Was there any white powdery stuff on the leaves that you noticed?
I did not see any.
Yeah.
But I did notice they all started from the outer edges in, curled up, fell off. I did some internet investigating and whatnot, and I did see they can get certain kind of wilts.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't seem like it's a something they're commonly get, but they are susceptible to them, according to the websites I looked at. But I don't get it. You know, I'm kind of bummed out.
I know, and I would be too. Those are absolutely gorgeous trees.
I love that tree. And my question is, you know, do you think it's if it is a wilt? Do you think it'll leaf out next year or?
If it is a wilt, no, I don't. But if it's not a wilt, I think it might.
What do you think it could be besides a wilt?
I have no idea. You know what? I'm not coming up with anything that I like on the internet, and I am not that familiar with Tupelo or Nissa sylvatica trees. I've seen there's a champion down along the coast. I think it's a Connecticut champion. It is absolutely frigging gorgeous. Here's another thing. Let's use our tax dollars and take a picture of it and contact the extension service and ask them what they think.
Okay.
Either that or if you know an arborist, he might know something about it.
Yeah.
But they're not a common tree at all, especially that size.
Right. And you know, they grow so slow, and I've been patient, and the thing sits in full sun. It was doing great, and... You know, in the fall, it looks awesome.
Tom.
And on top of it all, I bought the tree 15 years ago with a gift certificate that I won from your show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So are you saying that we're responsible for this?
I'm so bummed. You know, it's just like always something, you know?
You better get over there, Len.
I
don't know. I don't know if this helps, but I noticed... It does seem to be a tree that leafs out, you know, it's not the first tree around to leaf out in the spring. But I noticed this spring, it seemed to take a little longer. And then after it leafed out, I noticed up towards the top, there was about a 2-foot section from the tip in of one of the limbs didn't leaf out. And I was like, maybe it got stressed from last summer, from that half of summer where
half
where we had drought. So I was like, okay, maybe it was a little stressed, but now... This.
Now say that again. You browned at the tip, and then
once it leafed out this spring, which I noticed it took a little longer than usual to leaf out.
Yeah,
I noticed up towards the top.
Yeah,
there was about a 2-foot a limb, you know,
like a flagging of brown leaves.
About a 2 foot section that didn't leaf out.
Yeah. Oh, it like did not leaf out.
It was like dead wood.
Okay.
You know, about it, and which is weird. A tree sits in full sun all day long, and so I figured, you know, maybe it's a little stressed from, I know last summer we had that whole half of the end of the summer air where we didn't get rain, you know.
It's been a roller coaster.
You know, now this, so.
All I can offer is my shoulder to cry on. I somehow feel responsible for this. But then we had 5 or 6 years together, you, I, and the tree. And we should be thankful for that, you know.
Yeah. Don't give up on it.
But don't give up.
Yeah.
I mean, don't cut it down yet. Okay.
I should wait it out and see if it leaves out in the spring. I mean,
Definitely that. But you got to take a picture of it, explain the circumstances to the extension service, and they might be able to help you out. Who knows?
Okay. I'll add one thing. I this happened to this tree, but I'll tell you, I'm kind of psyched. I bought I don't know if you've seen them. I know I'm pushing it because I'm in Harwinton. I'm pushing it a little bit. Have you seen the columnar sweet gums?
Oh, boy, you are pushing it. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I planted it last fall. I said, I'm going to chance it. I bought one. I planted it last fall. I bought it, you know, fairly large.
Tom, I have to go. I have a heartbreak coming up. But know this. You will go to tree heaven. There's no doubt about it.
It got through the winter. I'm psyched.
There you go. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Well, there's an hour down, an hour in the can, and we will be back with more garden talk and more interesting questions we can't answer right after this.